Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We began reading and trying to study this morning about the subject of weeping, and the Word of God talks a lot about weeping and various things that might cause us to weep, to cry. I think probably I'm a tender-hearted person. If I have a goldfish that dies, I cry over that. A pet dies, I cry a lot about a pet dying. I cry sometimes when I look at a movie, Old Yeller, Bambi, things like that. I cry during those movies. I cry during Facing the Giants when I found out the coach's wife was expecting a baby. We watched that this past week, and I just sat there and boo-hooed and cried. So it's amazing how we can cry over things like that, things that are, you know, a movie. Why would you cry? That's not even real. But you sit there and cry in a movie, and then things that are real, things that ought to move us, things that ought to affect us greatly, sometimes they don't bother us at all. If I hit a dog driving a car, it affects me very greatly. I cry, I weep, I try to find who the owner is. It bothers me a lot. And yet sometimes I can read in the Word of God. Now sometimes I read the Word of God, I read about the crucifixion of Christ, and I weep. But there are other times I read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't move me like that. Now, something's wrong in my heart when I hit a dog or lose a goldfish and cry. Then I don't cry when I think about the sufferings of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I cry about all of these trivial things, they're relatively trivial things, but then I don't cry about the things that the Word of God teaches, that if I am close to God, I will be crying about. I'll be weeping about my sin. Then it helps me to understand something's wrong with me and my fellowship with God when I'm not moved to tears about sin in my life. Because the Word of God is full of people that as they sinned and they were conscious of that sin, they did weep. Peter wept when he had denied our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us about a lot of other people that because of sin in their lives, they wept bitterly because of the sin that they had committed. And I believe, brethren, that if my heart is really close to God, and I'm really conscious of the seriousness of sin, and I really am close to Jesus Christ, I believe that when I sin, I believe it will move me to weeping. Now, not only would we be moved sometimes to weep because of the guilt of sin, but I do believe that more often than not, when I am under the judgment of God because of sin in my life, when God chastens me, when God begins to judge me and I begin to suffer because of things I have done wrong, I do usually cry then. I've experienced the judgments of God in my life, and I cannot recall of a single time that God began to judge me and chasten me that it didn't result in real tears, genuine tears flowing from my heart. I've been through hell in my life because of sin in my life, and then the judgments of God come on me, and I have wept bitterly, wept sorely, and thought I would just lose my mind as I wept because of the sin in my life. But it was not as much because of the sin as it was the chastening that was a result of the sin that I often weep. In Matthew chapter 8 now, Matthew chapter 8, listen please to verses 11 and 12. The Word of God often speaks about when the people of God have done right and the joy that they feel, but then it also talks about when they have done wrong, and the sorrow and the weeping and gnashing of teeth that God's people feel. Brethren, these words, weeping and gnashing of teeth, almost without exception in the Scriptures, that is a phrase that is used that God's people, when they are under the judgments of God, when God is pouring out His wrath, when God is pouring out His judgment in their lives, when God is chastening them severely, There is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe that every time the Word of God speaks about weeping and gnashing of teeth in the Scriptures, it's always talking about children of God who have done something wrong. Not about people at the end of the time world, but children of God, while they're living in this world, God cares about His people, and God judges His people according to their works, and God chastens those that He loves. And when God chastens us, there's going to be some weeping. Matthew chapter 8, listen please to verses 11 and 12. The Word of God, Jesus is speaking, and the Word of God says, "And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, they're going to come and they're going to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, you might weep for joy in the kingdom of heaven. You might be so full that your cup runs over for joy in the kingdom of heaven, but there's not weeping of sorrow in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is defined in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when you're in the kingdom of heaven, you're not weeping and gnashing of teeth there. It's when you're cast out of the kingdom of heaven, that's when you're going to have the opposite of that righteousness and peace and joy. You're going to have weeping and gnashing of teeth when God casts you out of His kingdom. Look at Matthew after he says you're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Then in verse 12, Matthew 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Crying, weeping, that's real. That really happens in the lives of God's people when they have been in the kingdom of heaven. They have felt the fellowship of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And then they are cast out of the kingdom of heaven. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been cast out of fellowship with God? Have you ever lost that fellowship because of sin in your life and you've been cast out of the kingdom and you have felt that weeping and gnashing of teeth? Not just because of the feeling of guilt of sin, but your weeping and gnashing of teeth is because of the judgments of God. And you know God is chastening you, and that causes the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Being cast out of the kingdom of heaven is not a light thing. I'm not talking about being cast out of eternal heaven. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we can be separated from the fellowship of God while we live here in this world. Look at in your Bibles further at the people of God that are being cast out of the kingdom of heaven. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, again, there's going to be the expression here about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, if any of you, I know you have, because I've been with you when you were in the middle of all kinds of troubles and problems in your life where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there's a big difference in a trial of your faith where you're weeping. In other words, you can experience the loss of various things in your life, and there may be weeping, but it's completely different. You can be weeping, and God comes and comforts you while you're weeping. But this weeping and gnashing of teeth is when God brings His judgment, and God does not comfort you when you've been doing wrong, and He brings the chastening in your life, and you're suffering, and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and God will not comfort you, and nobody else can help you when you're experiencing this weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 11, this whole chapter, the beginning of this chapter, the first 12 verses, first 13 verses, are talking about the kingdom of heaven. You'll notice that Matthew chapter 22 and verse 2 begins by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." This king represents God the Father. The Son is Jesus Christ. And the marriage is what happens when the people of God have been walking in obedience to the teachings and commandments of God, and they enter into the marriage with Jesus Christ. They're in intimate fellowship with Jesus. And as these enter into the marriage, I'm just going to come down to verse 11 now. And when the king, this is Matthew 22, verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12 says, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, the people of God, you and I, when we don't put on the wedding garment, we don't adorn ourselves with the godly apparel, when we as the people of God, when we are clothed with unrighteousness instead of being clothed with righteousness, we're going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We can fake it. We can pretend. We can go to church. We can act like we're Christians. We can go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we can be among the people of God and yet be living very ungodly lives. And this man that came into this marriage, he looked like he was part of everybody else that was there, but there was a big difference in his life. And they bound him hand and foot, and he was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. God knows your heart tonight. God knows my heart. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows the secret things that are going on in my life and in your life. And he knows whether I'm really clothed with the wedding garments that are required to enter into this marriage. And if I'm not clothed with those wedding garments, he's going to cast me into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This fake religion, the mockery of religion, this hypocrisy in religion, God despises that. So I encourage you when you come into the house of God, I encourage you when you come into worship the Lord, I encourage you to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I encourage you when you come into the house of God that you prepare your hearts to worship God. I encourage you that you come and that you live a life that when you come into the house of God, you're really wanting to worship God. That's the main reason we come together, is to worship God. We don't come here. I do come. I enjoy your fellowship. But that's not the main purpose. The main purpose of us being here tonight is to worship God. Isn't it a blessing? Isn't it a blessing to be able to worship the Lord? Jesus says, they that worship him, they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't it wonderful to have the truth of God's word? Isn't it wonderful to be able to feel the presence of the Spirit of God in the house of God? Isn't it wonderful to, instead of hearing, depart from me, ye cursed, isn't it wonderful to hear the Lord say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. Isn't it wonderful to experience that righteousness and peace and joy rather than to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? That weeping and gnashing of teeth is just as real as the righteousness, peace, and joy in the kingdom of heaven. The weeping and gnashing of teeth outside the kingdom is just as real as the joy in the kingdom. And those are things that God's children experience, either righteousness, peace, and joy, or weeping and gnashing of teeth. The choice is yours and mine as we live day by day. Look at one other scripture about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Notice, please, verse 30. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. This is the parable. And again, every parable in the New Testament, listen carefully, every single parable in the New Testament is about the kingdom of heaven. It's not about some people going to heaven when they die, and some people going to hell when they die. Every single parable is about children of God either entering the kingdom of heaven while they're living, or entering into a hell, suffering under the chastening hand of God, rejoicing under the blessings of God, or suffering under the sufferings and the judgments of God. And when God brings his judgments, you will suffer. And that's what we're looking at right now. Not suffering or grieving or weeping just because I feel guilt. But we're talking right now about weeping because God's judgments are on me. And let me say this very quickly. You better be careful about judging other people when they're having trouble. You don't know whether they're having a fiery trial in their life or whether they're under the fiery judgments of God. Those are completely different things in the Scriptures. Sometimes God, you can take a person that loses a child and it be a fiery judgment. You can, and God does do that. He did it in the life of David. Or you can take another person that loses a child and it's a fiery trial in their lives. And only God knows what's going on in His judgment. So you be careful about sitting back and judging and say, yeah, I know why that happened in that person's life. You don't know. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Matthew chapter 25, the Word of God is speaking about a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, Matthew 25 beginning in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called, I want you to notice the next wording there, he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We're talking about servants of Jesus Christ here. He called his servants. And he delivered to one servant 5 talents. And he delivered to another servant 2 talents. And he delivered to another servant 1 talent. And to the 5 and 2 talent servants who took what their master gave them and worked and labored and honored their master. And the 5 talent servant produced 5 more talents. And the Lord said to him in Matthew 25 and verse 21, the 5 talent servant, his Lord said unto him, well done, as this works, this man enter into this heaven, this kingdom of heaven here, did he enter in based on his works? Absolutely. This is works. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want you to get the picture here. The choice is joy or weeping. The 5 talent servant entered into the joy of the Lord, entered into the kingdom of heaven. The 2 talent servant entered into the joy. That's explained in the next couple of verses that he said the same thing to the 2 talent servant. Well done, enter into the joy of thy Lord. But the 1 talent servant, there's a difference. And in all these parables about the kingdom of heaven, God is showing you and me, his people, you have a choice to make. You can serve God or you cannot serve God. You can love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or you can love the world. The warning, the admonition is, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you love the Lord, you're going to have, what's the 3 letters? What are you going to have? Joy in your life, righteousness and peace and joy. But when you don't serve the Lord and you don't put God first, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This 1 talent servant did not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The 1 talent servant did not enter into the joy of his Lord. The Word of God says in verse 30 about the 1 talent servant in Matthew 25 and verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is this weeping just because he felt guilty because of sin? Or is this weeping because of the severe judgments of God in his life? This is weeping because of judgment in his life. I'll say this, I believe that if you're not ever weeping because you feel the guilt of sin, you're going to be weeping under the judgments of God. I need to pray. I need to say, Lord, I need help. Something's wrong with me. If I weep over a goldfish dying and I weep over a chipmunk. I had a chipmunk in high school and he died. And I've had other pets and when they die, I cry and I have a funeral. I don't still have funerals for pets, but I used to have funerals for pets. But I still bury my pets and I still cry. But my point is this. You listen carefully. Listen. Something's wrong. And this is the burden of my heart. Something's wrong when we're crying at movies and we're crying over all these other trivial things. And sin is in our lives, and we can't even blush. That's what Jeremiah 6, 14 and 15 says that we mentioned this morning. The people couldn't even blush. They couldn't cry. They couldn't even blush. If right now I said, I want you to fall on your knees down here and cry because of sin in your life. Did you know I could probably get a half a dozen or more of you down here to cry? And I could say, cry, and you'd cry. There may not be but one of you that's really crying from your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, you can go through all the motions of crying. And how many wives have ever seen husbands? My wife hears me sometimes. Oh, I'll do better. I'll keep things clean from now on. But I just don't do it all the time. Lip service is not acceptable to God. Not that alone is not acceptable. May God help us to understand God's given you some talents. You better use those talents to the honor and glory of God. If you're not using your talents to the honor and glory of God, you're going to be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, let's go to another category of weeping, another cause of weeping. And this is, listen carefully, this is the last thing I want us to mention tonight. And that is that sometimes the people of God are weeping not because they feel guilt of sin in their own lives, and not because they're under the judgments of God in their own lives, but sometimes the people of God are weeping because of sin in other people's lives. Did you hear what I just said? If you love people, you're going to sometimes be found weeping over sin in the lives of other people. There are many of you in this congregation, you've experienced that. I've seen many of you during this past year and 2 years, I've seen many of you that have wept and cried over sin in the lives of other people. That's right, that's good. If you don't ever cry because of the sin in the lives of other people, you don't care about them. You don't love them. If you can let people sin and it doesn't bother you at all, something's wrong with your heart. You don't love them. You don't love them. But if you love them and you see them doing wrong, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be crying and weeping. Why? You're going to be crying and weeping because you love them and you know what's coming in their lives. You're going to be crying and weeping because they're on the wrong track and there's nothing you can do to reach them. And so all you can do then is just cry and weep and pray. But isn't it wonderful that God blesses you to care enough to weep for those who are walking down the wrong path? Go with me in your Bibles, please, very quickly back to Jeremiah chapter 13. Look in your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 13. I want to mention at least two passages of Scripture that talk about the people of God weeping because of sin in the lives of other people. Let me just say, while you're turning to Jeremiah chapter 13, let me tell you something, brethren. I don't think a man that is called of God to be a pastor doesn't weep over the people in the congregation. I think it's impossible to be a called minister of the gospel and never weep over the people in the congregation. Here's a scripture that just came to my mind. Hadn't even thought about it in all the studying I've done about weeping. But the Bible says, weep with them that weep. And so we're going to be weeping with those that weep. If you care about your brethren, you're going to weep with them and you're going to weep for them. Listen, let me tell you. Well, we'll read Jeremiah. Look in your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. The Word of God here shows weeping because of sin in the lives of those that we love. Doesn't matter whether it's parents for children, husbands for wives, wives for husbands, pastors for the church members, or church members for church members. There ought to be weeping in our lives because of the sins of other people and knowing what's going to happen in their lives. Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 15, the Word of God says, "Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness." What's he say? Who is Jeremiah speaking to? He's speaking to the children of Israel, God's people. He says, you better give glory to God before he brings darkness. Do you hear that? Give glory to the Lord your God before he calls darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Is that bad times in a person's life that he's describing there? Is it because of sin? And here's what he says in verse 17. "But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride." Do you hear what he says? He says, Jeremiah is saying, my soul's going to weep because of your pride. Why is his soul going to weep because of their pride? Because he knows the consequence of pride. He knows that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. He knows what's going to happen in those people's lives and he loves them. Therefore, he's weeping for them. He says, but if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. God's people, the Lord's flock, are carried away captive. What does it cause? Does it cause those who are carried away captive to weep? Yes. But who else does it cause to weep? The servants of God that care about those people are going to weep bitterly. In closing, go with me to Ezekiel. Go forward in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 9. And I encourage you to go home and read Ezekiel chapter 9, especially the first, maybe the first seven verses. Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. We're not going to have time to read this passage of Scripture, Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But here's, I'm going to just tell you what this is about. Ezekiel chapter 9, 1 through 7, God says, I'm going to go into this city, and I'm going to send forth angels with destroying weapons that are going to destroy this city. But before they go out to destroy this city, and before they go and bring pain and suffering to the people of God in that city, I'm going to send forth an angel with a writer's ink horn. And he's going to put the mark of God. There's a difference in the mark of the beast and the mark of God. This angel's going to go through the city, and he's going to put a mark on the foreheads of some of the people in that city. Do you know who is going to get that mark of God on their foreheads? It's the people that are crying and weeping because of the sin that's prevailing in that city. Look in your Bible just for the sake of time. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, that's to this angel, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry. What are they doing? They're sighing and crying. They're weeping. That sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, and come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Listen, brethren, God does not let individuals that are his children. He doesn't let families. You can turn your back on God as a family. God's judgments will come. This church can turn your back on God. God's judgments will come. Our nation has certainly turned her back on God. God's judgments will come. But I want you to listen carefully. Before God sends his judgment on a nation or a city, he sends a angel through that city and puts a mark on the foreheads of those that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are going on. There are people that are weeping tonight because of the sins in America. And when our nation is destroyed, God's going to spare them and lift them up, and they're going to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. May God help us, brethren, to realize something's wrong if we're not weeping because of sin, is my prayer for Christ's sake.